Hi, I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
Welcome to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. On today's show, we often associate aging with forgetfulness, but in later years, we also experience delayed response times, difficulty with spatial relationships, and other brain-related declines. Does it have to be this way? Not according to one psychologist whose decades-long study has found ways to train the aging brain.
But first, we're at that time of year when holiday parties and social activities crowd our calendar. If you dread the office party and worry about what to wear, that's a common anxiety many of us face. But according to the National Institutes of Health, millions of Americans suffer from something much worse: extreme fear of being scrutinized and judged by others. When the fear is so debilitating it disrupts daily life, that's social anxiety disorder, a chronic mental health condition also known as social phobia.
The disorder usually begins in childhood or early adolescence. 36% of sufferers report symptoms for 10 or more years before seeking help. Joining us to explain the diagnosis and treatment of social anxiety disorder is Dr. Robin Zazio, a nationally known clinical psychologist who specializes in this field. She is familiar to many from her appearances on the A&E television series Hoarders. Dr. Zazio is also the author of The Hoarder in You, How to Live a Happier, Healthier, Cluttered Life. Welcome to Take Care, Dr. Zazio. It's good to have you back.
Thanks for having me.
Talking about social anxiety, I mean, we know people on the spectrum. Some people just seem to be more outgoing. They embrace social situations. They like parties. They like meeting new people. And then we know a few people who will turn down invitations. They're not that excited to be in a group situation. Would you explain the difference between just being shy and actual social anxiety?
Absolutely. People who are shy can still go to parties, they can still engage in social conversations, they go out, they can still go to class, they can still raise their hand, you know, while they're in class, but they just might be a little bit more reserved. But it doesn't necessarily interfere in a clinical way in their lives and prevent them from doing the things that they want to do. People with social anxiety, in terms of a clinical diagnosis, have a very, very difficult time going out in public. The primary symptoms include being very fearful of what people think about them, fearful of being judged, fearful of being criticized, fearful that they're going to do something that's embarrassing or humiliating, so much so that they will avoid situations so that they're not in what they might expect, a predicament where that feared situation would happen. And that being said, what happens is their world gets smaller and smaller because they begin to isolate and withdraw because they are so extremely fearful of, having these kinds of what might be expected confrontations.
I wonder where that originates. Is it from trauma or a terrible experience in their childhood, or is this something that might involve a chemical imbalance? What do you think?
Well, typically we believe it's a chemical imbalance. So in terms of diagnoses, somebody can have a situation where, let's say, they're bullied, or they had a situation where it was embarrassing or humiliating, and because of that, that could change something in the brain where then they're fearful of being in those situations in the future. But that could be more of like a PTSD kind of thing, where as a result of trauma, they then avoid situations that may be similar to what they experienced. Social anxiety is more of a situation where they just don't quite know why they feel this. They just know that they do, and it's kind of controlling them and driving them.
If this shows up quite frequently in childhood and early adolescence, that's not a time in which there's a lot of free will. You have to go to school. You have to interact with large groups of people. How is that for a child or young adult?
Well, yeah, that's a good point, because typically we see social anxiety really manifest between the ages of 11 and 19. It's very rare that somebody could have those normal developmental milestones in which they're very social, they're very engaging, and then suddenly in their late teens that changes. That being said, what happens is it's a very understood and undiagnosed condition to where parents think, as we started this conversation, that their child is shy, that maybe they're reserved. And so they keep pushing them to go to school. And what happens is the child becomes more and more withdrawn because they can't engage in conversations. The fear is so great that, as I mentioned earlier with the symptoms, that they're going to embarrass themselves, they're going to be humiliated, they're going to be criticized. And so you'll see them off in the corner, or they might eat their lunch by themselves, or they'll just be very reserved in class. And then you might see their grades begin to drop because they're so inhibited, and they can't explain it themselves. They just know how they feel. And as a child, it can be very hard to explain or talk about what's going on because the rest of the world is engaging in front of them, and they can't explain why they're having trouble engaging.
But for a parent who's watching a child go through this, a lot of what you're describing, withdrawing from the world, you know, changes in behavior, that might also be indicative of depression.
Absolutely. And, you know, sometimes what comes first, the chicken or the egg, you know, is it the child is depressed, and as a result, it kind of develops into a social anxiety situation, or does the child have social anxiety, and as a result of all these symptoms that are going on, do they become increasingly depressed? Because with social anxiety, it's important to note that a person wants to interact with other people. It's not a personality characteristic where they're avoidant and they don't necessarily want to be around other people. They truly desire social engagement, social activities, but they just know that they're so fearful, keyword fearful of being in them, that they begin to withdraw.
So how does a child wind up getting treatment? Is it usually driven by the parents, administrators at school? How many kids do you see in your practice?
Social anxiety is the second most common anxiety disorder that we see in the spectrum, if you will, OCD being the primary. Now, that being said, it can come from a number of different sources. Sometimes the child can go to their parents and say, you know what, I don't know what's wrong. I just know that I'm so anxious being around other people. I'm afraid of what people think about me. And then the parents can then hopefully say, okay, let's research this and let's see what's going on. Because I think that there can be a tendency to minimize and to reassure the child, oh, you know what? You don't need to worry about what other people are thinking about you. People like you. You're a nice boy or you're a nice girl, and they can minimize it. But if a child comes to you with any concern, you know, it's important to address it to make sure it's not just something then, you know, something small that can be fixed. On the other hand, a child may not know what's going on or how to articulate what's going on. So the parents can start to identify that they're seeing the child being more reserved, or conversely, the school personnel, teacher or otherwise, can say, you know, I noticed that your son or daughter is quite reserved in class, that in situations where, you know, kids are being very engaging, they're quite reserved. I'm really concerned. So there isn't any one source in which this the problem can be identified. As it is, I think with any condition, that we have to look at the symptoms, and you know, you don't want to be so proactive that we're creating problems, but just to see if you're seeing symptoms, that if they continue, to maybe try to identify if there's something greater going on than just, you know, something that's very transitional.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care, a conversation on health and wellness on WRVO Public Media. I'm Linda Lowen.
And I'm Lorraine Raff.
And today we're discussing social anxiety disorder with Dr. Robin Zazio, a nationally known clinical psychologist who specializes in this field. Dr. Zazio, we had mentioned in the introduction that sometimes there's as much as a decade between early symptoms and when somebody actually goes and seeks help. So this would bring us to adulthood. And what happens, what usually triggers an adult to come into your clinic and to seek help?
Well, like any condition, what we see is that the symptoms are beginning to interfere with their lives. And so I can have somebody that comes in with mild symptoms of anxiety, but they are not necessarily diagnosed with a form of an anxiety disorder. In terms of social anxiety specifically, what's happening is the symptoms are impacting their lives in a way that is uncomfortable for them, socially, educationally, occupationally. And they're identifying that this is far greater than something that I can handle or manage on my own. And so oftentimes they'll research, you know, uncomfortable situations or anxious in social situations. You know, we Google and we do the search engine, and hopefully it will lead to something that causes them to say, oh my gosh, this might be social anxiety. And then they'll start to Google even more and see about resources in their community to get some help. The really cool thing about anxiety disorders is they are very treatable. And that's why I do so much media outreach, is because I think sometimes people say, oh my gosh, I've got this condition and there's nothing I can do about it. This is just the way I have to live my life. And like most things, you know, obviously we can have chronic conditions in which sometimes treatment might be more difficult or painful and that sort of thing. But in terms of anxiety disorders, it's very, very treatable.
And that leads us to that obvious next question, which is, what is the treatment? How do you help these people that come to you?
Well, as you notice, I keep saying the word fear. Social anxiety is about fear of being in situations where they're going to be scrutinized, judged, humiliated, do something that draws negative attention to themselves. That being said, as people, we can all relate to fear. Everybody's afraid of something. You know, I always give people the example of, you know, if right now you said, you know, thanks for being on my show. Here's two tickets to, you know, go skydiving. That is just not going to happen. I'm not jumping out of a plane today, tomorrow, or the next day. However, if I can identify what my fear is and I can approach it in a very systematic way, it's quite likely I could get to a place where I could not be so scared. With social anxiety disorder, basically what we're doing is we're identifying what the feared situations are. We develop what's called a hierarchy. You know, what would your anxiety level be on a scale of 0 to 10, 10 being complete panic, 0 is no anxiety at all, if you had to make a phone call? In that phone call, if you had to ask for directions, ask for, you know, what time they close, or other information about an establishment, what would your anxiety level be? If you had to walk into an establishment and ask them a question, what would your anxiety level be? If you were standing in a check stand and you had to pretend that you didn't have your checkbook or your credit card and had to leave and come back, what would your anxiety level be? And so those are just sort of the baseline examples that we would say, this might be a place to start. And so what we do is we then have that person go into those situations and have them confront them repeatedly, and this is the key, over and over again. So if it's anxiety about making a phone call, they would make phone calls over and over again. We encourage people at least 10 times a day. Get the yellow pages, call random places, and just ask questions. And what happens is you're telling that part in your brain, your fear center, there is no danger, that what you fear, the person might get mad at you or otherwise, is not going to happen. So in testing out your fear, we're going to help that person to see that their feared consequence is not going to happen when they actually engage in that social relationship.
How long is the process of overcoming this fear? Because I imagine it didn't come on quickly and it's not going to go away quickly.
You know, I love that question, because oftentimes what happens is someone will come in, they'll say, as far back as I can remember, I was worried about what people would think about me. So, you know, I'm now 26. It took me this long to seek treatment. Is it going to take me, you know, another 20 years to get over it? Absolutely not, because through the behavioral therapy, which is what the exposure therapy process is about, which I just outlined, your brain changes very quickly. It learns by confronting fear and seeing, literally experiencing, that the feared consequence doesn't happen. It changes and it adjusts to what you're trying to show it, if you will. So exposure therapy is about exposing yourself to the feared consequence to see that what you fear is not going to happen. And it's amazing how quickly that will happen. In our clinic, most people are reporting about a 70% reduction in 4 to 6 weeks of treatment. And that's in our what we call intensive outpatient. That's 4 hours a day, 5 days a week. And so what we actually do is we go into the community with the person to help them face their fears.
Dr. Robin Zazio is a nationally known clinical psychologist who specializes in anxiety disorders. She has been seen on the A&E television series Hoarders, and she's also the author of The Hoarder in You, How to Live a Happier, Healthier, Uncluttered Life. Thank you so much, as always, for your time, Dr. Zazio.
Thank you.
For more information on social anxiety disorder and Dr. Zazio, visit the Take Care webpage at wrvo.org/take care. If you've missed any segments or want to hear them again, podcasts of our show are available on iTunes and the WRVO website.
Coming up, who's most likely to suffer cognitive decline in old age? And can it be slowed or reversed? You're listening to Take Care on WRVO Public Media.